Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
And welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast as we get in the middle of a brand new 2025. I don't know that I ever thought I would make it this far, but I'm so thankful to be on this broadcast with our darling K1 co-director, Beth Ann Lampley. As you know from being on our podcast before, she's sharp, she's charming, she's delightful. And our topic today, which I'm so excited about, is a grace more perfect than my own perfection. We all need a touch of this. And our guest today is a longtime, dear, adorable friend of mine and a friend of Kanakuk named Jeannie Staples. Jeannie Staples, oh my, what a wonderful, wonderful history we have with this amazing young lady. Jeannie, welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast for the first time.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
40 years we've known each other, but I still see you as a All-American gymnast at LSU. You were a remarkable USA athlete as you competed at LSU. You won so many awards down there on the balance beam and in other gymnastic disciplines, but I believe you were All-American on the balance beam. Was that right?
That's right.
And your posters are still all over the LSU walls. If you go visit LSU Athletics, you still see Jeannie's darling picture. She was an alternate to the USA Olympic team. She was the very first female student athlete to be national champion in the history of LSU and a five-time All-American, Beth Ann, a five-time All-American.
Joe, I'm sitting over here just with my jaw on the floor because I've seen Jeannie around town and know her family, but I didn't know her legacy as a gymnast. So I am super excited to get to hear more of her story today.
Yeah, and there's a lot more coming. But Jeannie, just on your career, you were, in my opinion, a gymnastics superstar, and you are in the LSU Hall of Fame. Wow. Tell us just a little bit about your gymnastics career.
Hey, my gymnastics career, I started when I was 10. Just for fun at a YMCA, and I was successful and learned quickly, so they moved me up in the levels. And then when I was like 12, I won the YMCA Nationals. And then when I was a sophomore in high school, I decided to move away from home and live with an Olympic coach to train for the Olympics and try to get into elite competition. So I spent a year of my life living in cabins with 15 other girls. It was very competitive, as you can imagine. And I was a lonely year for me. So that's when I spent some time on my bunk by myself with my Bible. And I didn't know too much about the Lord, but that was when it started becoming real for me. So I found some peace during that time. I spent a year there, broke into the elite category, the elite gymnastics. And then I went home. I could only do it for a year. So I went home and then this coach would meet me when I'd go to the elite meets. A little bit about my story going to the Olympics. When I was a senior in high school, I went to, we had qualifying meets and I went to the first qualifying meet and they chose the top 20. Well, at the end of that meetup was 22nd. So I was like, oh gosh, what now? So I went back to my hotel and cried for a while and was like, wait a minute, Lord, isn't this what we've been building up to? And now it's all over. And so I woke up in the middle of the night and I read Romans 5, just one of those, just open your Bible and here's where it was. And it was, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so I felt in the Bible that I was using, it was like, be glad that you're in this place of highest privilege where you are now. And so I felt thankful that I'd gotten that far and turned it over to the Lord and went to sleep. The next morning I woke up and two girls had been disqualified for entering the meet illegally. Long story. So I got to move up to 20th and went on to the next qualifying meet, which was in LA. And that one was a 3-day competition. And I, again, was nervous, had a bobble, was 20th. They take the top 10 to the Olympics. And so the next day of competition, my parents were going, said, fine, we need to loosen you up a little bit. Let's go to Disneyland. So we did. We went to Disneyland in the morning, and then that afternoon I competed and was so relaxed, and I really just turned it over to the Lord and imagined Jesus as my audience and just did it for him and just relaxed and had fun. And I came up three places, and then the next day I did the same thing, turned it over to the Lord, let go, and performed for him, and I came up to be 10th. So I made alternate to the Olympic team. That was the beginning of my story of learning how to let go and let God in gymnastics. Not life necessarily, but in gymnastics, that was very pivotal for me. So after the Olympics, I got to go to South Africa with the team. And then I went on to compete at LSU and enjoyed team competition. It wasn't just for me. It was for the school and for the team. And I really enjoyed college competition. That's it in a nutshell.
Wow, that is quite a story, Jeannie. And tell me, I'm just thinking through just your timeline that moved pretty quickly. You know, when you started at 10, then advanced at 12 and just kept moving and you moved away. And, you know, what was that like handling just the pressure of, you know, athleticism at that level as a teenager? Yeah.
Pressure is the key word. I think that was the hardest part for me. It's the pressure to be perfect, the pressure to perform well, because I did when I relaxed and did my best, but there's pressure to win. There's pressure to perform. There's pressure to, and so that was my, I don't know, the thorn in my flesh, I guess, to get through it. It was tough. I did enjoy trying to do some school stuff and be a normal kid and at the same time, so relieve some of the pressure, but that was hard.
And then Jeannie, in 1979, your career took a very difficult turn. Tell us about that.
Well, we were at a dual meet, LSU versus Auburn. We were in Auburn, and I fell off the bars. I just scored the highest I had ever scored on a vault and went to bars and fell off and tore up my knee. It was not just a scratch. It was a major injury. So, of course, it was in the old days when we were in a van and had to drive home from Auburn to Baton Rouge, and that was a long trip that I still remember. It was very painful. But I had surgery and rehabilitated for 6 months, I think. It took me a long time to rehabilitate. And my doctor said, you know, if you go back to gymnastics and you fall again, you're not going to walk. You won't be able to walk again. So I just kind of took it from God as that chapter's over and, you know, let's move on to something else. But it was all of a sudden change of direction.
What was the pain of a broken heart like for you at that point in your life?
It was more of a shock, I think, at first. I was thinking about that. It's like it was a shock. And then I was like relieved. Okay, now I don't have that pressure anymore. I can just be normal. Honestly, that's how I felt. And then I was humbled because, wait a minute, that's supposed to be me up there on that beam doing that routine. That's supposed to be me getting the attention and stuff. So it was an adjustment. But that's when I turned to the Lord. I started going to Bible studies, more active in church, and the Lord just grew more personal to me during that hard time.
Yeah, Jeannie, I'm just thinking, you know, I get to interview a lot of staff for camp and they share stories of injuries, you know, and how that is usually, you know, for them, it's a mile marker in their faith and walk with God. And, you know, was it like that for you? How did it affect you? Obviously, not only physically, but even just spiritually.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was definitely a change in my spiritual life because I had more time to be still. I went from one thing to the next when I was in college. I went to school, then I went to gymnastics for 4 hours. And believe it or not, I cheered at LSU. So we had cheer practice two or three times a week till like 10 at night. And then I'd come home and do my homework till 1. And, you know, then the day started again. So it was tough. It was busy, busy. So I think when it all stopped, I was able to focus on what the important things were eternally. I had a great group of friends, too, to support me.
And then in 1980...
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
You decided to come work at a place called Kennecott.
Yeah. Do you know that story? My roommate from college went on her honeymoon and met a couple down there, and they told her about Kennecott, and then my roommate told me. So that was, I think it was May when Debbie Joe called to interview me for teaching gymnastics that summer at Kennecott. I went, I don't know where Missouri is, but let's go. And here I am still.
So thankfully. So Debbie Joe called you.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. That's amazing.
Well, it was way past the hiring of the staff time because this is like the end of the semester. You're about to start camp and you were short a gymnastics coach. So
And what were your Kanakuk staff days like, Jeannie?
I loved Kanakuk. It was great to have something so different and lighthearted. I felt it wasn't the intensity of a gymnastics training schedule and just have fun in the Lord. And I really enjoyed that time in my life. Plus, I met my husband.
Well, I was just about to ask about that. But, you know, Jeannie, I'm still hiring gymnasts for this, this summer at K-1. So, you know, maybe we need to talk afterwards.
I've done a few years of that.
Yes, but, you know, tell us a little more just about meeting Joey. And then, you know, obviously you guys chose to kind of put down roots in Branson. And you guys have been building a family legacy here for a long time.
Like 40 years.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. We met the summer of 1980 at work week, and then I came back third term and worked at K2, and then we dated for a whole 3 or 4 months and got engaged. Joe came to our wedding and helped with it March the 7th, so it was a quick little romance, and Joey finished his master's at Baylor in counseling, and then we came back to Branson for him to be a counselor at a program called Doulos Ministries, which is similar to what you have here at the Institute. Anyway, and so he did that for like 28 years or so. And we've been in Branson. Yeah. And then he went on to work at the church.
What would you say, Jeannie, as you just think about, you know, your years back at Kanakuk, is there anything, you know, that stuck with you, whether that's a lesson or just something from those days that you still hold on to?
I think your I'm third mantra is something that has stuck with me because, you know, when you're a gymnast, it's all about you. And so learning to be I'm third and think of others before yourself has stuck with me. And also serving with joy, a big thing that happens at Kanakuk. And that's also something that has stuck out with me. And just, you know, just loving unconditionally is not by your performance, but by just loving because God loves me. And so I love others. And there's a lot of lessons to learn at Kanakuk. A lot of neat people.
Beth Ann, I was rooming with Joey for the wedding. And as Jeannie said, I was, you know, there officiating. And the night before the wedding, Joey, who, by the way, is a marvelous person himself. He played soccer at Baylor University, had a Kanakuk guy, and super person. But the night before the wedding, we were in the same motel room, twin beds side by side, and I was over there, you know, on my side, and there was a little table between us and a lamp, and Joey was over there laying on his back, just staring at Jeannie's All-American gymnastics picture, and he just looked, and he looked, and he looked, and I said, "Are you okay, buddy?" He said, "I just can't believe that tomorrow I get to marry her." He was snowed out of his mind, and justly so, as you can tell from this interview.
Definitely.
He was one happy, happy groom. Jeannie, post-college, you and Joey came to Branson, and we were starting a gymnastics school called Morning Star Gymnastics because my Jamie and my Courtney were little tykes and Debbie Jo had grown up doing gymnastics and dancing. And so we thought it'd be cool to have a school. And so you inaugurated Morning Star Gymnastics and we had years of just wonderful relationships with you and with Joey. But I just want to circle back to your training as a young elite gymnast and then, you know, in the top 10 and all that stuff. And I know that elite athletes oftentimes deal with perfectionism. You don't have to be an elite athlete to have to struggle with perfectionism. I think a lot of us as parents struggle with that. And a lot of us as professionals and ministers in all kinds of fields, I know for myself, just beat ourselves up trying to do everything, you know, and trying to be the best possible. What was that like for you? And how is that difficulty of being poured into be perfect, 9.9, 10.0. What was that like for you then?
Well, a lot of pressure. And it nice as I have grown in my faith to realize that it's by grace that we've been saved through faith, not of our own doing, not of works. And just to meditate on that a little more, to give myself grace for mistakes that we all make. Because, I want to be the best I can be, and I don't think that's wrong, but to be a perfectionist and expect yourself to be perfect is not realistic. So I think I brought that mentality into my marriage and into my raising my kids, And it was later on that I realized I needed to let up and not have to look like everything's all perfect and under control, because we don't have control. God has control. So it was another step in learning how to let go, let God, realize that his ways are higher than my ways and his thoughts than my thoughts. And it's been a lifetime of learning of how to, you know, give yourself grace for mistakes and not have to be perfect all the time.
Yeah. Jeannie, what would you say to the listener that's out there today that is just, you know, struggling with perfectionism, whether that's in, you know, the home, their career, professionally, whatever it is, what's a practical, you know, first step or just something that they can, you know, do today to start fighting against just, you know, that haunting ghost of perfectionism that just seems to follow?
Yeah. Several things I would, one thing that has helped me is to realize how much I'm loved by God. I am loved. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And wonderful are his works. I can't do more than that. And I need to let go and let him have his way. And then just live in that love. And the way to live in that love is to spend time with him, to sit down with your Bible and get to know the heart of God. The more you know the heart of God, the more you love him, the more you realize he loves you. You don't have to be perfect. Just enjoy life. Laugh a little bit.
Jeannie, the proof's in the pudding. And I was fortunate and thankful to also get to be a part of your kids' lives at Kennecuck. And you were able to somehow put that perfectionism at bay. You were able to ditch that. As we've seen your two children, Elizabeth and Eric, grow up at Kennecuck. I mean, nobody's perfect, but goodness gracious, what wonderful kids they both were. And now they also, we've got your grandkids in camp. And by the way, can you believe we're all that old?
No, I can't.
But they're just.
But thankful. I am very thankful for how my kids have grown up. And I want to, it wasn't just me and Joey. I know that I felt like I was better at the younger years and he was better in the teenage years because he was better at counseling teenagers. But it's also the grace of God, of course. And the Kennecuck community had a big influence on how my kids turned out as well, I have to say. It was a blessing for them and for us. Even though it was hard for me to let go of them for a whole month, it turned out great for in their lives. So,
how'd you put 9.9, 10.0 sort of at rest when you raise your kids? Because you did not raise your kids in perfectionism.
Thank you. I don't know. Again, a lot of prayer. I know when Elizabeth was a teenager, we butt heads a bit because I wanted things to go my way. But she's a different personality from me. And I remember Joey telling me, you need to let up or you're going to lose your daughter. Because I was wanting her to go one way. She wanted to go another way. And I just spent a lot of time on my knees. That's how I did it. And then God did the rest.
Yeah, that darling Elizabeth and I were, you know, K2 buddies. And I just marvel at the way you raised your kids. And nobody's perfect. But I admire the way you were able to push that perfectionism aside. And you've also had a wonderful marriage with Joey. And how have you kind of put perfectionism at bay in your marriage?
Well, 40 years of trial and error, loving unconditionally, because God loves me that way. So I can only love him that way. And, you know, some days are harder than others, but you just did the best I could in our relationship.
Well, the fruit's on the tree. We admire you and Joey. And I know as a coach, that was your profession for a long, long time. And you coached my daughters. And I thought you had a wonderful balance of building fine, young, competitive gymnasts, but you never pounded them into perfectionism.
Yeah. I think maybe because I was that way, I knew how I didn't want to be. I wanted to help them do gymnastics for fun. Do it because you enjoy the sport. You don't. And so I stressed, you don't have to be perfect. Just do your best. Maybe because I used to be more like that, I tried to help them not be that way. So I wanted them to learn the skills and learn it right. But if you mess up, it's okay. Jump back up. Keep going. And, you know, you've talked to sports athletes before. It's all about resiliency. It's not about being perfect. It's about how you pick yourself up and keep going. And I think that's a lesson that I tried to teach gymnast children grandchildren.
Yeah, a great replacement for perfectionism is just stressing resiliency. Proverbs 24:16. In fact, I wear it on my wristband, on my left wrist. A righteous man falls seven times and rises again. And that really is a lot better alternative than pushing for 10.0s with our children and our spouses and our people in our profession, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that's what God wants out of us, is to have our heart fully His, not by our works, but just by being who we are. Just to, if you mess up, you turn to the Lord, you could put your feet under you, keep going, you know, and you just give it all to Him and live for Him. And
so you teach a Bible study. A number of our directors' wives are part of your Bible study, thankfully.
Oh.
Talk about what it's like to pour into younger women.
That's one of my favorite things to do, just to share life with other women. When I was in Doulos, they used to assign us to a younger person and a younger woman. And sometimes it worked out well, sometimes it didn't. But it became a habit of mine to every year have someone that I'm pouring my life into. And it was just, so I just enjoy doing that, just walking and talking. And I may not be the best Bible scholar, but I can listen and I can share life with other women. And I still enjoy doing that. And as far as the Bible study goes, I'm a facilitator. I'm not quite the teacher that Debbie Jo is and Beth Wiebe. I more facilitate the conversation and help the ladies navigate, you know, life. And we usually do a video, so someone else is actually teaching.
Deanie, as we, you know, wrap up our time today, is there, you know, one little golden nugget that you would want to leave with our listeners today?
Well, from my life, I guess a nugget would be to don't fight God. Just let go. Let Him lead and be submissive to what His will is. His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts, from Isaiah 55. We can trust Him because He loves us once again. Live that way, live loved, and trust His ways. All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So stay in line with the Lord, and then He will guide you.
Bethann, this is refreshing. I hear something is apparent out of this broadcast, and I don't know how our other listeners who happen to be parents, and I've learned something about being a husband in this broadcast as well. And that is to leave some of my presumptions, some of my negative qualities that may have come from bad habits growing up, maybe being pounded into my head by football coaches or by teachers, but to leave them at the front door of the house, to check them at the door, and don't bring them inside the house. People don't know Jeannie as well as I do. She was able to do that. I saw her do that well. And that, whatever negativity that we've grown up to, whatever negativity that we've grown up with from whatever voices were in our heads as kids growing up, maybe it was our parents, to leave it at the front door and to walk into the house representing Christ. And as Jeannie pointed out, representing grace. Not anger, not frustration, not guilt, not shame, not perfectionism, not anything except representing grace. Because as Jeannie said, He is grace. And we really are His representatives as parents, as spouses, and as professionals. So, Jeannie, thank you for bringing that to my heart today. Even though I'm old, I can always learn to grow and change. Lord Jesus, thank you for a wonderful, refreshing, enjoyable period of time with Jeannie and with Bethann, always two women of grace. And Lord, I pray that through our microphones and through everyone's listening devices, that grace is abounded once again. Thank you for being that grace, Father. And thanks for showering us with that grace, even now as we pray together. In the name of Jesus, the author and perfecter of grace, we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.